Hello, everybody. I'm Victoria. I'm a student at the GSC, and I'd like to invite you to take a journey online with me. So much has been happening at the Stanford School of Education this fall quarter, and right now we want to share, celebrate, and reflect on what we've learned. So today I'm talking to Brian and Gisley to build those insights. Welcome to you both. I'm so happy that you're here and I get to talk to you. I'm wondering if you could first introduce yourself, maybe tell us who you are, your program, and what you're interested in studying while you're students at Stanford. Brian, do you mind starting us off?
Yeah. So, Victoria, thank you for having me here today. So my name is Brian Chen. I'm at the LDD program first year. I am currently interested in exploring the spaces of assisting elementary school students learning how to learn and also the social emotional learning field.
Thanks, Brian. Gisley, what about you?
Hey, yeah, thanks so much for having us on. So I'm also in LDT, Learning Design and Technology with Brian. We had a lot of classes together this quarter. My pronouns are she, her, and I am really interested in making mindfulness practices more accessible to BIPOC youth, so Black, Indigenous, students of color. Really happy to share our experiences from the quarter.
Perfect. I'm really excited to ask you all about them. The first thing that I wanted to talk about with you today is just your experience in your courses as first year LDT students. I imagine you might be doing some time need finding or thinking about how to develop those interests that you just described for us. So could you share a little bit about what classes you took this quarter and how they helped you progress toward your goals?
Yeah, I can go first. So there's a couple classes that I took. So learning experience design, technologies for learner, qualitative research, and also introduction to game design. All these classes are great because they provide me different framework and kind of a way of thinking into solving different problems. Each class have different strength. For example, the qualitative research provides me a different lens on viewing other people's experience, and learning experience design leads me into more of a design process, help me to work with community partners, technologies for learners. This is a class focusing on evaluating technology tools for education, and also game design, which we are applying different ways of, whether that's onboarding, scaffolding, or different design principles. Those classes are really great for me to help me to go into my master project.
Just so you mentioned that Brian and you took a lot of the same classes this quarter, is that right?
We did. And even though I didn't take the game design, Brian sent over some of his Medium blog posts that he had assigned for the class. I feel like I got to learn a lot from the class, not even taking it. Now I follow the class on Medium because they do really interesting things, dissecting games and super interesting. The classes that we took together were qualitative research with Denise Pope, who did an excellent job building community with the class in a smaller class. We can talk a little bit about how that class was organized and helping build community. I also took our seminar class for LDT and started an internship during this quarter. I'm a part-time student, so I only have enough, 7 units that I can take at a time. So it's a bit of a smaller workload while I also work full-time as a user experience researcher at Google. What I've really appreciated from all of the classes that I've taken so far is there's a lot of flexibility, especially in the projects, to just choose something that you're already interested in and passionate about, and then to get connected to other students that have shared similar interests. So in the qualitative methods course, for example, Brian and I were in the same team because we had overlapping interests in social emotional learning. So we got to do an observation of a fifth grade mindfulness class over Zoom. The kids were in the Bronx. So it was in the population that we both really, along with a third teammate, were really interested in learning more about. I got to interview the teacher. It's been really interesting. And I'll also share that personally, this remote environment has been really beneficial for me because I'm based in Washington State. So whereas a lot of my peers are already living on campus, I'm living remotely. And yeah, I feel very, very connected to the cohort. So I never would have thought it would have been possible to feel, you know, as connected and build community, but I've been really pleasantly surprised with the possibilities that this new medium is sort of lending itself to. Yeah.
Well, that's really amazing. And I'm curious about this community building part. And I know a lot of our faculty might be too. It's something that happens pretty organically whenever we're all in person, but now that we're remote, it seems like, you know, those opportunities have to be a little bit more intentional. So I'm wondering if you could help us dive in a little bit more specifically on what that community building looked like for you both as members of the LDT program, either in your classes or even if there were things outside that your cohort organized. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, I can jump in. So one of the things that are really, one of the really interesting things is that because we're, most of us are home, right? We're in a pretty intimate environment. So when you dial in, you see like, you know, you see our lives, all the environment around us. And one interesting way that we build community is just to kind of bring that environment into the conversation. So often it's like pets or kids that are around, or one of the icebreakers that we did in the beginning of every class in Denise Pope's class, for example, it's each student would lead an icebreaker. And so one of them, for example, was, you know, go find something in the room and show it to everyone else and share what's meaningful about that item. And those situations simply weren't possible when we were all in a classroom. So in many ways, I feel like you actually get to learn a lot more about the people and the lives of those people in your classes. So that's one way that I think, communities is built. And then outside of class, I actually have Brian to thank because he applied to a bunch of funds and was able to set up some dinners for like our LDT cohort. So we all ordered Thai food one night to celebrate the end of the quarter. And so everybody's partners and kids and pets joined in. And it was nice to just kind of get to know kind of the communities around each person as well. And then we also set up a WhatsApp group that's helped us kind of keep in touch, check in on each other, see how, you know, classes are going. If we have questions about the classes, it's really easy to just ask a peer really quickly or just commiserate about deadlines or whatever it is that might be coming up. And so I think those three things have probably been the most supportive for me in terms of feeling connected with my peers and teachers.
Yeah, definitely. So like Jisli mentioned, everyone would like to connect, but starting the connection or initiating that part is somewhat challenging. So what I did is that I just assume everyone wants to connect and I want to be the person to arrange these events. Then the second question that comes to my mind is we want to minimize the burden or like the entry burden in the sense that people only need to decide, hey, that's interesting, I want to join, rather than thinking, well, what am I going to do there? So I've been arranging different events, different gathering that's very themed and have a clear agenda, sometimes a very limited time, as short as 30 minutes. So people don't feel like they're obligated to do things, kind of reduce that and trying to mimic the casual encounter that people would have otherwise. And it's been working pretty great.
What have been some of the themed gatherings that you've planned? That sounds really cool.
So one of the themed, like just mentioned, is that we arranged a gathering that we all ordered the same food. So in this case, we ordered Thai food. Everyone ordered Thai food from different restaurants. We get to talk about what we ordered and talk about like the local area. And then the food links to experience, links to travel stories, links to other things. So it's kind of like a natural setting you would encounter if everyone had got to the Thai restaurant together.
Yeah, it was super fun. And one other thing that Brian's been organizing, if I may add, it's interesting this year because we had a lot of students defer for a year. And we actually got to know a lot of those students through, you know, the admin week and all of those activities. And so Brian actually arranged some get-togethers for us to continue to develop connections with the students that deferred for a year. So in addition to the cohort this year, we've been able to keep in touch with the students that will be incoming students next year. And they've also Soren and Karin have arranged for them to pop in some of our seminar times as well. There's a component that we just have like a reading list that we read through and discuss together. And so some of the students that aren't enrolled have been able to participate in those discussions as well. And I really appreciated that because it always adds like a different perspective for somebody that is, a lot of them are teachers, for example, so they're able to bring that experience into the classroom, which has been really, really rich.
Yep. And another theme one is at the beginning of the quarter, we set up a couple of picnic with the previous cohort. So there was two instances that we could meet with LDT 20. And then it was very nice to connect to the year before and the year after.
Yeah, they gave us so many resources and helped us pick classes, reviewed our program plans. Yeah, it's a great community.
It sounds like your cohort is just a kick butt group of people. My goodness. It sounds like you've really grown together over a really short period of time. I'm wondering, as you look toward the winter quarter and you think about these community building practices, a lot of which it sounds like, you know, have been self-motivated on the part of your cohort, what would you hope that your professors and your instructors would think about or consider if they're trying to think about like, what community building should I do in a class?
There's a couple of good things that comes to my mind. Several classes that I took this quarter, they have this icebreaker or like opening session where within 5 to 10 minutes, people share something that's, whether that's personal or something that's on their kind of their mind at the moment. And that really allows me to connect with my classmates rather than jumping directly into the lecture and then people come and go.
Yeah, and I guess what I would add to that is to kind of lean into what sort of a collaborative design might look like for the class. So I think it's a good idea to ask students even before the class, like maybe through a survey or something like that, like what ideas do they have around building community or what needs do they have around building community? And then maybe the first class to kind of carve out some time to have a discussion around that and co-create something together. I think that's generally the best way of meeting really specific needs is to understand them and bring people into the process and see what you can create together and innovate.
That sounds very LDT spirited, if I might say. I think a lot of the professors and teachers in the program might lean into that. Was there anything that surprised either of you this quarter? Just like going in, you didn't expect it and you were either like, whoa, in a good way, or oh, in like a not as good way?
So there's definitely one positive surprise. So people talk about like remote learning, you're always in one place. You don't get to commute, go outside. I sometimes see that as a plus. So this quarter, I feel like I was able to get more because I could quickly shift between whether that's classes, session, or assignment. So I can maximize the efficiency of my use of time. Yeah, my past quarter experience will not be possible if it were for in-person setting.
I think one thing that surprised me was I was expecting a lot of Zoom fatigue, and not to say that that didn't happen, but I would say that the energy that we were able to kind of like build as a community in our classes and in our cohort, I felt like balanced out the fatigue to a degree that I was surprised by. I was expecting it to be really, really rough. Definitely, especially for the 3-hour classes, the breaks really help, but having those fun activities and connection points all throughout the class really helped kind of keep the energy level up and everybody really engaged. And so I was just really pleasantly surprised. Maybe I had low expectations of what it would be like to be, you know, glued to the computer screen all day long. But reflecting back on the past 10 weeks, it's been better than I expected.
There's another surprise that I noticed while reflecting back is because everything was done remotely, so everything was digitalized. So pretty much the whole quarter, there's a very detailed note throughout every single class, and whether that's from the student themselves or from the TA or the faculty.
Since we're getting toward the end of our time here, I just want to make sure we focus on our final question, which involves the essential elements of remote learning courses from both of your opinions. as LDT students. And so going into winter quarter and thinking about the classes that you will take, what do you think are some of the must-haves for a remote learning course? And this could be in terms of what tech platforms to use or teaching styles, different types of assignments or assessments. What, in your perspective, is crucial to have?
I really enjoyed the breakout room, the group discussions, getting work directly with peers, and shifting between lecture and group work. That really balanced out that 3 hour or this elongated Zoom time.
Yeah, I agree. That was really helpful. And that would have been one of my suggestions as well, of especially for the longer blocks, to think creatively about how to use that space. And yeah, using it for group assignments, I think, was a really, really good use of time and space, just because it gets difficult to coordinate with students with their other classes. And, you know, others like me have, you know, are working all throughout the day. So it was really, really helpful when the group work could happen in the class. And then beyond that, and maybe this is my social emotional learning sort of bias coming in, but I really think the most important thing is just to recognize that students are people, just like the professors and the TAs are people, and that this is a really, really trying, difficult time. So I think it's really important. And I know it goes a long way when people just acknowledge that, acknowledge the challenges that are arising at this time and the complexity that we have to navigate, the ambiguity we have to navigate, and then to be flexible, to kind of create space so that people, so you know what's going on, so people have the space to share what their challenges are at the moment. And then to be flexible around them. So for example, a couple of the professors were really flexible about deadlines. They were like, okay, you know, if you need an extra time, take the extra time. But hey, by the way, if you fall behind, the quarter goes quickly. So, you know, basically be prudent about the time, but know that there's flexibility and support there. And that really went a long way. And just hearing that well-being is really important and made a priority. And that almost energized and encouraged me more. And I was able to kind of deliver more in those classes when I knew that, that, you know, either my peers or the professors and the TAs really had my back and understood that it's just a difficult time. So I guess that's just a plea to keep the humanity in. It's really, really important. And yeah, and it's really what I think the magic, the secret sauce or the magic of the GSE or the people in it. So making sure that there's space for that community to come through is really the most essential element, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And to add on what Jisli mentioned, we also talked about this earlier. So one key success element would be having the faculty and the students co-creating the classes, and then, you know, maybe using exit ticket or different surveys throughout the course, you refine or iterate through the style.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you both more. I'm a student myself, and Jisli, I think you said it so well. Keep the humanity in the humanities and design with purpose, from Brian. I think that's about all the time we have today, unfortunately, but I'm again so, so happy that I was able to talk to you both today, listen and learn from your experiences. And I hope that they're able to help and shape some of the learning experiences in winter quarter and beyond. For the folks who are listening to this, thanks so much for joining and taking a learning journey online with us today. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.